All right, well, let's grab our notes and we'll get as far as we can. So we were working on the chart, as you remember from last week, the color chart, all right, that's the half sheet of paper that's sideways. And I stopped on purpose. Not only was it time to stop, but I wanted to park on a couple of things that sometimes are a little confusing or difficult to work through. And again, this is just really preliminary for our study in the book of Revelation. Revelation is not set up as a chronology directly. There is chronology in there. There's some movement of events that seem to be pretty clear. But this is just to help us to get some background for it. So we've worked all the way through A through J, H-I-J, and so we're at K is where we're at on the chart. K is the judgment of the nation. So what's happened here is we've come to the end of the tribulation. There's been Christ coming back. That's J, the return of Christ. There's been the battle of Armageddon. Now we have the judgment of the nations. At this point, the sheep and the goats have been divided. The sheep get to stay, all right? So essentially there's the believers get to stay, among whom will be numerous Jews at this point that have come to trust Christ during the tribulation period. As a reminder, let me remind you that anybody that is alive right now and goes into the tribulation period will more than likely not get saved. They will believe a lie. And so the time of hope is now before the rapture. You share the gospel now. So Scripture isn't necessarily dogmatic. There may be a handful or somebody that would come from this period into the tribulation and get saved, but Scripture is pretty clear, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that they'll just believe the deceit of Satan and fall away. So, but there will be people that will get saved, multitudes, in fact. We're going to discover that in the book of Revelation. 144,000 are redeemed from the tribes of Israel. They are witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many get saved during the tribulation. Many of them are martyred. But some will be alive still at the end of the tribulation. Those are the ones that will be a part of that whole judgment of the nations and then go into. They are the sheep that go into the millennial period. They will still be in their physical body, the body that we have today. So there is, during the millennium, just so you know, there is potential for death for those that have not been glorified yet. Though a child will die at 100, Isaiah says. All right, so that means that life is much like maybe the Garden of Eden at that point, where whether things change here on earth or God, just in His grace, elongates life, He can do those things. He doesn't even have to change the atmospheric pressure or anything or whatever. He can take care of that in just His perfect way. So those that enter the millennial kingdom in their physical bodies will still one day have to die and be resurrected. Some of them could live to the end, and it appears as though at the end of the millennium there could be just almost an instantaneous, like something like the rapture, where their bodies are glorified and they go on into the new heaven and new earth. So that judgment of the nations at K, we know from the book of Daniel chapter, specifically chapters 9 through 12, give us several numbers as far as days and so forth. And there is a gap. There's a period of 1,260 days, which is really the 3.5 years. So from the midpoint of the tribulation to the end of the tribulation, time of judgment and so forth. But there's an ultimate number of 1,335, 1,335. So what's going on in this about 75-day period here? Well, more than likely, if we're understanding from Ezekiel potentially, and from Revelation, there's a cleanup period going on, all right, where there, obviously, the Battle of Armageddon, there's been a lot of dead people all of a sudden. And they will spend years, it says, marking the body parts and finding them and burying them and so forth. So there'll be some initial cleanup period, and then it seems as though you can see the little, I didn't really put a line after K, but there will be an initiation of the millennial kingdom, which is L. The reference you probably want to put down with K would potentially be Daniel chapter, not potentially, you can put down, all right? Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 to 13. Daniel 12, 11 to 13. And the reason we put that reference down is that's the reference to help us understand that at K, after Christ comes back, is when the Old Testament saints are resurrected. They will enter their inheritance, and that's a promise that was given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel, you'll stand on this earth again, and you'll receive your inheritance. Well, we know Daniel never went back to Israel. That promise wasn't fulfilled in his current present lifetime, but he'll come back, be glorified, and like us, be a part of Christ's administration and kingdom, but unlike us, he'll be a part of the Jewish nation, which will become the focus and center of the millennial kingdom again. So that's Daniel 12. Another passage to write down for K would be Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And that's specifically dealing with the description of the judgment of the nations, the sheep and goat judgment, as we find there in Matthew 25. So the ones that remain are the ones that stay in the millennium. The ones that are taken away are the ones taken away to judgment, right? And if just I'll real quick just make this comment so it's to not create confusion. If you read there in Matthew 25, that's the passage where Christ is asking if you cared for them. You know, when I was in prison, you helped me and all those things. And the goats will say, well, when did we ever see that? And he says, if you've done it unto my brethren, you've done it unto me. It appears to be specifically a reference to, if you're saved, what will you do? Well, you'll help your brothers in Christ, which will be many Jews at that point. So when he's talking about brethren, he's talking about saved, more than likely Jews in particular. 144,000 plus the multitude that are saved during the tribulation period. And that will be the point at which it's the demonstration of their salvation. Doing good to the good people, to Christ's brethren, the Jews, in the tribulation isn't what saves them. It is the evidence of their salvation. You understand? That's really important. Just like our salvation is evidenced in our Christian walk today. Okay. Then L is the millennial kingdom. 1,000 years, literally 1,000 years. The reference there is Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. Revelation 20, verses 1 to 6. And we will be a part of that. It's kind of exciting days. I've already started my to-do list for the millennial kingdom. I know I'm not going to get it all done here. Several years ago, my mom and dad, and it was somewhat by request, bought me a guitar. I thought, boy, as a youth pastor, it'd be great to, you know, could take it with me. It's hard to haul a piano on your back everywhere you go for a youth activity. So I thought that would be a great instrument. I thought I had some time. Well, the Lord changed all that. I finally gave away my guitar to a missionary that needed it, all right? And so I'll pick up the guitar in the millennial kingdom. Make sense? Okay. In my spare time then. I've got a few years then. Okay. So that takes place. We'll rule and reign with Christ. Again, the focus of attention in the millennial kingdom as far as worship will be the millennial temple, as expressed in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48. The description there, that's the millennial temple. We will participate in that worship again, and the sacrifices are a memorial sacrifice, not a sacrifice that looks forward to redemption. Redemption is in Christ. It's a memorial, similar to what we memorialized Sunday night when we had the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial to remind us. But the paradigm will change. It'll move away from the New Testament church age paradigm picture, and it'll move to the Old Testament picture again, because Israel will be at the forefront. Israel will be the main body or believing body at that point. Okay, and then M. So we come back, and the M is the Great White Throne Judgment. So at the end of the millennial kingdom, Satan will be released. He'll gather a great army among people that have not been resurrected yet. And just like in any other time, those that are living the millennial kingdom that have not been resurrected, that are born like you and I, physical, they have to come to faith in Christ. They're living in the perfect setting in this world with Christ as the ruler, but they still have to trust him. And there will be multitudes that will live under his authority. He'll rule with a rod of iron. They know better than to go against him, but they will not trust him. And Satan will deceive them at the end. There'll be another, essentially, it's not called Armageddon, but another great battle. Christ will then again annihilate that enemy force that Satan will gather together, and then they will face the Great White Throne Judgment. And the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation, here's your reference, Revelation 20, verses 7 to 15. All unbelievers will be at that judgment. All unbelievers from all ages will be there at that judgment. That's when they receive their resurrected bodies that will then spend eternity in hell. All right, so they will not be able to die, and they will forever be punished. Our minds it's hard for us to grasp that. But do understand and know that our sin is that wicked. Don't take sin lightly in your life. If God would punish someone for eternity because they have not accepted His free gift of salvation because they're still in their sin, they've offended an eternal righteous God. In a sense, can I put it this way? As long as God lives, they must be punished for their sin. It should behoove us to do everything we can to share the gospel, to reach the reachable, all right? Everything we can. But as well as Christians, to not take sin lightly. I know that it must grieve the heart of God to look at Christianity at large in our country and around the world today. There is so much sin that's tolerated, that's allowed, and that should not be a part of our life. He will punish it for eternity. So that's what takes place at M. And so at M as well, after the Great White Throne, kinds of inconsequence, that's when the earth is destroyed. That we know it, this earth that we're standing on right now, this terra firma, the heavens that surround us, this universe, will be done away. And then God will create N, the new heavens and the new earth. And we will for eternity no more be corrupted by sin and Satan. Aren't you glad? All right, and we will forever live with the Lord. This is Revelation chapter 21 and 22, essentially. But specifically through 21:1 through 22:5. The new heaven and the new earth. And we don't know a lot about it. I've seen pictures of the new Jerusalem. Some would say that it hovers over the earth, that it's not actually on the earth. As you remember the description from Revelation 21 and 22, it seems to be a cube of some sort, three-dimensional, massive, all right, massive, 1,600 miles by 1,600 miles by 1,600 miles. That's a pretty good size. And that's just the city, all right? That's just the city. Are these all levers? Remember, they're all levels or something on there? I don't know. God has it all worked out. But it'll be glorious. It seems as though we'll be able to move back and forth from the New Jerusalem to the earth. Will we go to the new heaven? I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. And it'll be all just right. It'll be glorious. So, and again, we do know that we will serve the Lord. We will spend an eternity. If I can put it this way, it seems logical to me. God doesn't give us a lot of clues, but we will have a multitude of people that we will spend time worshiping and serving the Lord together and living another civilization that honors the Lord in everything. No, there won't be new children born or anything. That's done, all right? Marriage is done once you get to glory. But we will be confirmed in our holiness, and we'll spend the rest of eternity worshiping, serving God, doing things, discovering more about God. Discovering things about the new heaven and new earth. Will it have the same chemistry as this earth? All the same science principles. Who knows? We'll be learning forever about God. And so you don't worry. You're not going to get bored. And I'll probably be able to play the guitar a little bit better then too. Okay, so there you go. Okay, makes sense? All right, what a wonderful joy. Think of the choir then. Anyways, okay. Now, are there any questions? Any questions on all this? Anything that I can answer? I know that we don't often take questions and answers. Yes, Belva. Good. Thank you. Good question. So, yes, obviously those that are born in the tribulation as well. But the tribulation period is 7 years. Now, we don't know how long time there is between the beginning of the tribulation. Remember, the tribulation starts with the signing of the covenant between the Antichrist, who is not a world ruler at the beginning of the tribulation, and the nation of Israel. He's an European ruler. And so there could be a gap of time from the rapture to the start of the tribulation. It doesn't appear to us from Scripture to be long, but Israel didn't see this long gap between the first and second advent of Christ either, okay? Just so you know. So yes, those born, but those who have not really had the opportunity to hear the gospel, I shouldn't say opportunity, but those that go in. Right, absolutely. Correct. And obviously we know the book of Revelation makes it abundantly clear, Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 14, that there are multitudes from the nation of Israel. It seems as though God's attention really turns to the nation of Israel again. It's Daniel's 70th week. So if I can talk about dispensationally, the church age is completed at that point. We're in heaven. We're glorified. We're going to be married to Christ. So his attention again comes back to the nation of Israel, and that seems as though there will be a period. By the way, Romans 11 would be another passage for this, that their hearts will be really open. though their minds have been blinded to the truth before the tribulation period, then their hearts will be open and the Holy Spirit will be able to work and reach them for Christ. So there'll be, yeah, I mean, there's a multitude. It tells us that in Revelation chapter 10 as well, a multitude that gets saved. Multitude. I'm sorry, that's chapter 14. Chapter 14. So where exactly, that's why I say this is a little, I'm not dogmatic, but 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 makes it clear that those that have heard the gospel will believe a lie. You hear the gospel now, chances that you would actually accept it afterwards seems to be, according to Scripture, very slim that that would happen. You will believe the lie of Satan, be deceived, and go on to worship and serve Satan and become a part of the Antichrist kingdom and all those kinds of things. So, good question. Anything else? All right, well, I'm not going to start Revelation then. We're already done. Isn't that crazy? And that's too bad because I'm fired up about the book of Revelation, okay? Let me just give you may want to this week in preparation for this, I have not left you blanks. I've not left you blanks on here, so you may want to do some glancing through this. There's some explanation for sure that I'll need to give you and so forth. But the book of Revelation is not specifically, can I put it this way, for us to get the timetable of the future. It uses that, and it'll provide that for those, especially future saints and so forth. But it is, as verse 1 of chapter 1 of Revelation tells us, this is the revelation. It's another great revealing of Christ. It's we will get, if you study the book of Revelation, this is why John says we are responsible to hear and listen to this. Because at the end of the day, it's revealing something about our Savior and Lord that we need to know now that we can live out now in our life. And that's really important. So sometimes we like to get, and it's typical human nature, this is like science fiction almost. It's not. It's reality, all right? But we want to know all the details. And it's not necessarily important that we try to figure out every little detail or innuendo and try to read between the lines. Don't do that. Don't add to this prophecy. Remember that at the end of the book of Revelation? Really important. But take what's revealed and know Christ. This is the last revelation of who Christ is in the Bible. And it's the only place we see some of this. It's the only place. So we need to know Revelation so that we can know our Savior better, so we can serve Him well, so we can understand the grand scheme of what's going on and serve our Lord well. So anyways, that's really what the book of Revelation is about. Not just to give you a sneak peek at what's going to happen in the future, all right? That's a part of it, but that's not the purpose of it. The purpose is for you and I to know Christ. Okay, so there's your little advertisement for next week. Be back, all right? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can put some of the pieces of the puzzle together so that we can be well prepared. Lord, help us. Help us to do everything we can to reach souls for Christ. You hate sin. It must be punished. It's rebellion against the God of the universe. Help us to not let sin in our life. May we treat it as you would treat it, Father. May we see it for as black and filthy and wicked as it is. And then, Lord, help us to avoid it. And when we fall into sin, may we confess it, forsake it, come back to you, get it right, and serve you faithfully and well. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. In your name, amen. I wish you have a good rest of the evening.